Hey, everybody, today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Rand Paul and Jack Posobiec about Fauci and so much more. You can email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support us at charliekirk.com/support and get involved with Turning Point USA. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. With us from Human Events Daily with Turning Point USA, Jack Posobiec is a good friend of mine. He does a great job, and we're going to talk to him about a lot of different stuff. Jack, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, always a pleasure.
So, Jack, something happened over the weekend that seems to be memory hold. There was a hostage situation, which is rare. We don't always see that. It happened at a synagogue. Tell us the story. What happened?
Yeah, Charlie. So there's the story that we got in terms of the real-time situation as it was reported to us through the media. And now there's the story that's beginning to emerge through the reporting that's come out over the past few days. So the story that we got, at least in terms of as it broke publicly, was that at a Beth Israel Congregation synagogue outside of Dallas, Texas, a terrorist took hostage a rabbi and three of the congregants there and held them in a 10-hour siege with local authorities and the FBI, all while demanding the release of a woman who's been in captivity in prison in the U.S. for many years. She's referred to as Lady Al-Qaeda. Her name is Afia Siddiqui. She's someone that's been on the Al-Qaeda list for many, many years. Was one of the very first detainees, was picked up in Afghanistan years ago. She's held for not only being a terrorist and providing material support to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, but also for attacking soldiers with trying to shoot soldiers with a rifle here in the U.S. in a hospital. It's a long story, but she's someone who's been held, and that CARE National, by the way, has actually been holding fundraisers and events and support events for this terrorist who's been convicted over the years behind the scenes for years. They've been publicly holding events supporting this terrorist. And so this guy comes over. Now, we've now learned he came over, traveled from the UK to the US, utilized, really exploited homeless shelters in New York City and then Dallas as he made his way across the United States in what seems to be a planned operation from a known jihadist, someone who was known to UK authorities. Somehow the FBI lets this guy in, doesn't pick him up on their radar. We hear from President Biden, of all people, tells us that this guy somehow was able to obtain an illegal weapon while here in the United States. And so this has all the hallmarks. It's shaping up to be a planned operation from an overseas terrorist cell, and he may have had help here in the United States.
Is that how the media or the FBI is covering it? How are they describing it?
They're saying it was a hostage situation. The FBI at one point was coming in and saying, we don't even think that it was specifically targeting the Jewish community, even though, of course, he actually held a Jewish synagogue hosted. Jewish rabbi was held hostage. This horrific situation. People did not know for 10 hours what was going to happen. Eventually, thank God that everyone was able to get out safely. The terrorist was taken out at the end of this situation. But this has all the hallmarks of a pre-planned terror operation with a cell that has links to both the U.S. and the U.K. We're talking, and I don't mean, one of these one-off things. I mean a classic international terrorist plot and then attack. And yet the media is acting as if this is cut and dried, case closed, never even happened.
What could possibly be their reasoning for that? Is that because...
But Charlie, the problem is that he didn't do it on January 6th. Now, had he conducted the attack on January 6th, of course, it would have been imputed to the Oath Keepers or Donald Trump or you and me, or, tie it to conservatives in some way, because this, of course, has been the latest cause celeb of the national security state. I was actually talking to someone earlier today who's currently serving in national security, a guy I knew from the past. in my previous occupation. And he said, you have no idea, Jack, every single document that comes out now inside the IC, it's white supremacy on the rise, white supremacy attacks on the rise. We need to go after these domestic insurgents. Of course, publicly, we just heard that Merrick Garland is opening a new domestic terrorism unit. And yet it seems that while the entire IC's focus has been driven by CNN and the Washington Post to focus on these admittedly very small one-off events, that traditional terrorist attacks are now able to take place and they are not disrupted, which of course is the purview of the FBI and specifically the National Counterterrorism Center, the NCTC.
Yeah, the media coverage of this has been, I mean, surprising. We always say that every single time, right? Well, it's been incredibly disappointing. And so kind of in general, the FBI didn't do their job to kind of track through this. The articles are all praising the FBI's, though, for being able to calm down this hostage situation. Look, this story broke over the weekend, and I found it to be very interesting because, unfortunately, political dynamics and people's own political affiliations start to come in to these stories where if the perpetrator or if the individual who is trying to do harm or the let's say the hostage taker is not a MAGA hat wearing Trump supporter, then all of a sudden the media seems to lose interest on that. The media is praising the FBI for such a wonderful job that they did here.
Well, see, once again, this is a situation where the FBI is able to come in after the fact and then gather all sorts of information. They do the whole CSI thing. They're able to tell us everything about this guy's connections and travel, again, after the fact, after the attack took place, not before it was prevented. I mean, think about all the layers and all the money that we spend to prevent things like this from happening. And yet you've got like step back from this, right? This is a situation where you don't even usually see this because typically we see self-radicalized domestic insurgents, whether they be jihadists or Islamists inside the United States conducting attacks like this. This is a guy who came from overseas with the intent to carry this out with planning. Certainly, two people were just arrested in Manchester, England, over, you know, questioning in regards to this. I'm sure that this guy had help inside the U.S. I mean, he had intimate knowledge of which homeless shelters to use, both in Queens and in Dallas. Somehow he's traveling in between. He's able to purchase a gun very quickly. He conducts this entire attack within the time span of about 2 weeks. So we're talking about a very tightly controlled pre-planned operation with a cell that stretches across overseas. This is the exact thing that our entire national security state, we're told, exists to prevent. This is the thing we're talking about. And we're actually told this, they had what's called an exclusion order on him in a UK court from years ago when he was in court himself in the United Kingdom in Blackburn Court and was given an exclusion order because he was ranting about 9/11 and he was ranting about how they should have taken down more towers and he wanted to kill the guards there and all sorts of other things. And so the fact of the matter is, this is a guy that easily should have tripped a lot of tripwires. None of those were tripped. This guy wasn't placed on the no-fly list, but your grandmom's placed on the no-fly list because she was liking the wrong memes on Facebook.
Yeah, it really is this question of what is the security state spending their time on? And thank goodness no one died in this situation. But it also, I mean, you remember the Parkland shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. They had multiple tips about that shooter. There seems to be a theme here. I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden, we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better. Took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says relieffactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to relieffactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at relieffactor.com. I think since this became on our radar screen, right, Jack? You were talking about this. You've said cancel the Olympics, postpone the Olympics, boycott the Olympics, whatever you want to call it. So, Jack, why should we postpone or cancel the Olympics?
Well, I think for obvious moral, diplomatic, and economic reasons, certainly we shouldn't allow the CCP to have yet another Olympic Games. Remember, they originally held the Olympic Games 2008. So this would be another feather in the cap for the Chinese Communist Party. You know, a lot of people go back and look at the 1936 Olympics and say, why did we allow Adolf Hitler to host the Olympics there in 1936? Of course, Jesse Owens and others went over and used that to protest. But again, history does not look very fondly on those images of the International Olympic logo with Adolf Hitler standing above them. This is going to be another inflection point in our history when the murderous Chinese Communist Party, where you can take away their entire history of atrocities prior to 2019 and the release of COVID-19. But their lies in the release of this, their lies in terms of the gain-of-function experiments they were conducting in the Wuhan lab clearly have shown us that they do not have the world's best interests at heart. And that's number one. Number two is the fact that they're experiencing not only a massive Omicron outbreak right now, but they're also experiencing what is called a hemorrhagic fever virus outbreak. We've heard of this in Xi'an, but now they're locking down major cities like Tianjin. Now, people that don't, you know, follow China a lot, they say, what's Tianjin? Where's Tianjin? Tianjin is the port of Beijing. It's a 30-minute train ride. That's the maglev that they have between Beijing and Tianjin. So you've got Omicron and who knows what else riding the maglev between Tianjin, a city of 15 million, and Beijing, where the Olympics are going to be held. They're locking down office buildings in Beijing today with the workers inside the buildings. That's how insane they're going to the levels of this. Why are these games still being allowed to be held? Are our elites that completely bought off? And apparently they are.
They are, and I think the Chinese Communist Party is very conflicted over this because they want to try to have the prestige and the international lift that the Olympics could give them, but there's going to be kind of this big shadow over all this if it proceeds, and I think you've won me over, Jack. I mean, I'm no fan of the Chinese Communist Party. The only reason I've always kind of held out a little bit of a other side of this is I like the idea of competing, and I think that athletes deserve a chance to do that. But however, there's things more important than sports. I get that.
Japan had to postpone a year, and they did.
I get it. So, but I think that let's say the Olympics proceed because the elites are bought off, there's going to be kind of this big shadow over all of it. I mean, for example, you know, they always do these kind of aerial pictures, like the Winter Olympics are brought to you by some woke advertiser, and they always kind of show the kind of aerial view of the city. It's going to look kind of dystopian.
Well, Charlie, have you seen what NBC? So NBC, remember, they signed the contract for this years ago. This is something that's worked out years in advance. All the Olympic stuff is years in advance. Actually, believe it or not, Kazakhstan was one of the countries that was up against China for this. So how hilarious would it be if Kazakhstan was actually holding the Olympics right now? But that's another situation. So NBC had won the contract to this. So that's why NBC has to be very careful with CCP and all their reporting right now. But if you notice in all of their promos for it, they're calling it Winter Olympics 2022. And then down in the corner, it says Beijing. It's not Beijing Olympics.
No,
super big.
No, the NBC is going really hard on this. I mean, nonstop advertisements. I think NBC is worried that
I think it's going to be a ratings disaster. I really
don't. Oh, I totally agree. But the $50 to $70 million that it costs to put on this, which it does, right? I mean, they film everything just to buy the rights. I think NBC is going to lose a ton of money, but you know, not beyond that, Jack.
Little violent.
But you know, if the Olympics proceed, and I'm not encouraging people to watch any of the competitions or anything. Again, figure skating is not really my thing. Curling, I'm kind of open minded to. But if it happens, how can we turn this in the narrative to try to hold China accountable? In 30 seconds, Jack, is there a window where we use this as a chance to remind people that
the question is,
from China?
Will Will a Patriot athlete from one of these nations take the opportunity, like Jesse Owens did in 1936, to take a stand and give a message if they win an event or they're giving an interview at one of the events? Will they take a stand against the CCP and speak out about what's going on in Wuhan with the Uyghurs, with the repression of house Christians, millions and millions of Christians across China that are forced underground? Will we see that moment?
That is a phenomenal point. And we'll see. I hope so. Maybe Shaun White, he's never going to be snowboarding again. But he seems a little wokey to me, so I don't know. Human Events Daily, check out his podcast, subscribe to it. Jack Posobiec, Human Events Daily, brought to you by Turning Point USA. Jack, thanks so much for joining us. The real estate market is extremely hot right now. People are taking advantage of low interest rates and economic uncertainty by investing in real assets. Whether you are a first-time buyer or just looking to make a change, the key is to get in the property you want is being pre-qualified and having cash in hand. That's why you guys, all of us, myself included, I had to stop doing this. I had to stop using the big banks. I used a big bank for a loan previously. It was a disaster. It took forever. Not to mention, I go look at their score on secondvote.com. Like, wow, my loan helped fund abortions, BLM Incorporated, burning down of Wendy's, the destruction of our society. I'm done with it. Then I met Andrew and Todd. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, who have become great friends of mine, andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. My producer, Andrew, he's working with them right now, and he tells me they are part counselors, part financial planners, and they're really helping them, and I'm about to use them for something. I've been so impressed by them. But they are bankers, not brokers. That means that they can help you start to finish. But quite honestly, let's divest and take all of our money out of these woke banks. So maybe you're buying a new home. Maybe you're refinancing. Whatever process you're going through, just fill out a couple simple questions online at andrewandtodd.com. They can assess your situation right over the phone. Go to andrewandtodd.com or call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. Even if you have a friend who's buying a home, I'm sure every single person knows someone that's buying a home. Just put your arm around them and say, hey, go to andrewandtodd.com. Charlie Kirk speaks favorably of them. Here's what I can guarantee you with andrewandtodd.com. Zero of the proceeds will go to fund abortion. Zero will go to fund BLM. Zero will go to fund the woke industrial complex. Instead, Andrew and Todd, they support shows like ours. They want to help patriots, Christians, and people that love their country and love the Lord take out loans and do it correctly. So go to andrewandtodd.com, call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. andrewandtodd.com. Support the good guys and stop supporting companies and banks that hate you. The banks have waged war on our values. Time to say sayonara, vaya con Dios. Alvita sane. I'll be going to andrewandtodd.com. And with us right now is someone who I think has been so courageous, more so than any other member of Congress and definitely in the Senate, someone who is actually a medical doctor and has been exposing the independent regulatory agencies of the deep medical state, Dr. Rand Paul, or Senator Rand Paul. Senator, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
So, Senator, walk us through kind of your latest kind of bout with Fauci, if you will. You went back and forth in the committee. You're one of the only ones willing to do so. Seems as if he's getting a little bit uneasy that you might be on his case.
You know, I think it's an appalling abuse of power. He makes over $420,000 a year, but he then uses his salary and his office and his minions to take down an enemies list. So his enemies list includes other doctors and other scientists, and three of them are eminent epidemiologists that work for Stanford, Oxford, and Harvard. But he and Dr. Collins conspired by email that we know of because we have a record of this. And they said in the email, let's do a published takedown of these people. And immediately Fauci responded to Collins and said, I'm on it, and sent him two or three things they got up in the lay press at The Nation, you know, a left-wing progressive outlet, and then also at Spike. So the thing is they're putting these – no, it was at Wired. So they're putting these things out, but I think it's an abuse of office to go after other scientists and use your government position to try to take down people who disagree with you. And what these scientists were putting forward was the great Barrington Declaration that simply acknowledged that we learned very early on that COVID affects different age groups wildly differently. So an 80-year-old has 1,000 times greater chance of dying than a 10-year-old. And if we don't account for that, I think it's basically malpractice. And so I went after Fauci on this, and he decided to say that I was responsible for death threats. I came back at him and said, look, if anybody knows about death threats, it's me. I've been shot at. I've been assaulted. I've been attacked by a mob. My wife's had to open packages that look like anthrax at the house. So how dare him sort of say, hey, I'm responsible for violence against him, when we've never, ever accused any politician of being responsible for the violence directed at us. So I don't know. I think he's at his wit's end, but I think he also is somebody who is the consummate politician. He's not a scientist, but he's a menace, and we need to get rid of him. The sooner the better.
Well, I totally agree. And that's the only tactic he has left, is to try to smear you and to try to delegitimize you. As you could tell, his staff gave him all the little printouts to act as if he was going to be able to push back against you, because you had on one of your websites, I don't even know if it's true or not, I think it's awesome, that you fire Dr. Fauci. I would give $25 for that. I think that's a great thing to try to give money towards.
Well, we do. I mean, the media has asked me, and I quickly respond, yes, go to randpaul.com if you want to help us fire Fauci. Because, look, if I win in November and Republicans take over the Senate, we will do everything possible to either impeach him or fire him. At the very least, we will investigate him. We will use our subpoena power to get every last record. Not so much because it's about him, but it's about trying to make sure that another pandemic does not escape from a Chinese lab, infect the world, and cause millions of deaths. It could be much worse the next time. So we're going to invest this gain of function, this creation of viruses that don't exist in nature. We will go after him. And yes, it is political. It depends on who has it. The Democrats control everything now, and there are no investigations. So elections have consequences.
Yes, they do. And I watched the hearing, and outside of you and Senator Marshall and maybe one or two others, it seemed as if people were just treating Fauci with kid gloves, just very carefully, especially on the Democrat side. Meanwhile, we have multiple crises happening, with monoclonal antibody treatment being restricted to the states, a war on early treatments. Senator, can you talk a little bit about that, about how, for whatever reason, this regime, the Biden administration, is not allowing the distribution of monoclonal antibodies and seems to, for whatever reason, not want anyone to talk about early treatments, early intervention when it comes to this virus?
I think it's essentially this mindset, this one size fits all. So everybody needs to be vaccinated, whether they're at risk for this disease or not. And it's all vaccination and no early treatment. And here's the thing is, this is a real disservice to people. 800,000 people have died, and they needed someone in charge of public health who had given them some good advice. So if you're at high risk for this, over 65 or overweight, and you get this disease and you're beginning to have a significant bronchitis or cough, you need to see your doctor, because if they diagnose you with a pneumonia, and it's a COVID pneumonia, there are treatments, but early treatments, and there are a variety, some accepted by the medical world, some not so accepted, but there are treatments available. And I think it's wrong not to allow people that choice. I had a staff member who was on the ventilator for 9 days. Unfortunately, he survived, but even he didn't realize that the knowledge that you had to get this treatment before you got too sick. And so this is what every public service announcement should be saying, is get early treatment. Instead, Fauci says, oh, we need to give boosters to 15-year-olds, and now we need to vaccinate your newborn before they leave the hospital. None of which works. The boosters don't stop transmission. And it is a crime against our youth for these colleges to be following Fauci and saying, not only do you have to be vaccinated, now they won't let you in without a booster, and now you're not allowed to take off your mask to even speak. It is crazy what they're doing to our kids.
It's getting worse than even it was a year ago, despite so many young people that already have natural immunity, and that there's no allowances for factoring that in. For our audience, Senator, I want to play a short tape of what you said to Fauci last week. Let's play cut 26, please.
The idea that a government official like yourself would claim unilaterally to represent science, that any criticism of you would be considered a criticism of science itself, is quite dangerous. But when the planner is a government official like yourself who rules by mandate, the errors are compounded and become much more harmful. A planner who believes he is the science leads to an arrogance that justifies, in his mind, using government resources to smear and to destroy the reputations of other scientists who disagree with him.
So I see the not so subtle kind of mention of Road to Serfdom, F.A. Hayek, kind of talking about the planner. So I saw that, and it's brilliant. And it really goes to this point of when you centralize all this power, when something – when you have 330 million people, it gives zero allowances for individuality or zero allowances for people to be able to customize what might be best for them. So, Senator, you mentioned that if – the Republicans take back the Senate and you win in November, there's going to be a mandate to hold these independent regulatory agencies accountable. Can you talk a little bit more about that? What might that look like? What would holding Fauci accountable mean?
Each of the committees have the ability to subpoena records. So far, the only records we've gotten of Fauci have been gotten really by independent agencies filing Freedom of Information Acts. So believe it or not, they will respond to a subpoena by a court, but they will not respond to Congress asking them for things. Now, of course, the Democrats have not signed any requests for records, so it's only been Republicans, but they've resisted all of this. If we control the committees, we will subpoena all the records. We will also subpoena them. We will make them stand in front of us, hold their hand up, and swear to tell the truth, and we will aggressively go after anybody who doesn't tell the truth. The other thing we will do, though, is bring in independent scientists. There are dozens of independent scientists who are preeminent in their field who are not Republican, not even conservative. Many of them are liberal Democrats who are scared to death of gain-of-function research that we could destroy civilization by creating a bug so powerful that nothing could kill it and that it kills the entire population. There are people literally who are pioneers in the genetic world, CRISPR technology, all of this. One of them wrote in the Washington Post a month ago that this could be a civilization-threatening type of thing if one of these viruses get out of the lab. And so, yes, there are people who want to talk about this, but Fauci's been covering it up. And then if you help him cover it up, lo and behold, you get bigger grants. You know, he controls $1 billion worth of funding. These are salaries and the livelihoods of all the university scientists, so he can control opinion by controlling their funding.
It's extraordinary. Really quick, 1 minute remaining, Senator. I know your time is very valuable. You tweeted out or you sent out on your social media platforms that you're no longer going to be watching or supporting DirecTV. You're canceling your DirecTV sponsorship because of what they've done to One America News Network. Thoughts on that?
Start now. Everybody listening, quit watching DirecTV. Cancel them. They're canceling us. We are crazy to give money to people who hate us. So it took my wife 2 days to get us canceled because they don't make it easy, but we finally got rid of them and we're not getting them back, because if they are going to cancel the news, if they're going to cancel conservatives, then by golly, we shouldn't give them any money. This goes for all big tech and social media. We need to push back. I pushed back. I've quit YouTube a week or two ago. I'm quitting DirecTV. I'm going to keep going until I find people that want to have speech and want to have a collegial debate.
Well, I think that's well said. Senator, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all that you're doing for liberty and to hold all of these independent, allegedly independent regulatory agencies accountable. It really is important, and it's noteworthy. Thank you so much, Senator, for joining us today.
Thank you.
So what we were just chatting about, One America News Network is a news channel. You might not like their presentation of information or facts. I go on there as a guest quite frequently. AT&T has just recently announced that they are going to cancel One America News Network, saying that they are no longer going to allow One America News Network to be listed on the DirecTV station portfolio. Now, this is because you have to understand that a couple months ago, there was a series of hit pieces after DirecTV that called One America News Network the QAnon conspiracy cash cow of AT&T. I'll find the article. However, we've talked about this at quite some length and into great detail, that we need to make sure we make decisions with the companies that we buy products from that reflect our values. By the way, a Minnesota bank right now is trying to cancel Mike Lindell, trying to cancel his bank accounts and his bank records. It's interinstitutional, which is to use corporate power and government power to try to squeeze this entire movement out. And Senator Rand Paul is spot on. And he also talked about how he uses Rumble now, RUMBLE.com, Rumble instead of YouTube. We do a lot of different things with Rumble. I encourage everyone out there, if you have the YouTube app on your phone, delete the YouTube app and go to Rumble instead. It's RUMBLE.com. You have homeowners insurance for a good reason. Charlie Kirk here, because without it, a fire, flood, or burglary could destroy you financially. But there's another major crime your homeowner's policy does not cover. It's called home title fraud. The FBI calls title fraud one of the fastest growing crimes, and it can ruin you financially, which is why you need Home Title Lock. Title fraud happens when a criminal forges your signature on documents stating you sold your home to him. Then he takes out loans against your home and leaves with the payments. You'll spend a fortune in legal fees trying to prove you didn't commit fraud. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title the instant they detect anyone, from a cyber thief to a renter to a relative trying to forge their way to your home's title. They help shut it down. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address now to see if you're already a victim. It's a very important service. Make sure your home is not being stolen without your knowledge. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio, for 30 free days of protection. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio. We've mentioned it before. I'm a big Joe Rogan fan. I really am. I have a lot of respect for him. He always would describe himself as someone who would buck the consensus, and he would go after the truth regardless of where it led him. And it's easy to say that until there's a global pandemic and a pharmaceutical response that came after that. And Joe Rogan has been one of the most courageous and one of the most clear voices when it comes to early treatments, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, the vaccine, and many other issues. Over 200 scientists, 270 scientists denounce Joe Rogan for medical misinformation, despite the fact he has medical licensed doctors coming on and talking about all these things. They wrote a letter to Spotify, coalition of scientists, professors, and doctors, 270 in total, have published an open letter to Spotify, the hosting company of the Joe Rogan Experience. They say that they want an immediate and clear public policy to moderate misinformation on Spotify, their platform, after explaining the podcast exposure to 11 million people per episode. That's part of the problem here. They're seeing the kind of impact that it's happening. What kind of medical misinformation is happening exactly? The fact that Joe Rogan is willing to talk about early treatments, that he's willing to talk about monoclonal antibodies. The doctors say Dr. Malone is one of the two recent JRE guests who have been compared pandemic policy to the Holocaust. How's that medical misinformation exactly? It's an opinion. It's somewhat of an informed opinion, actually. These actions are not only objectionable and offensive, but also medically and culturally dangerous. Oh, so now it's the doctor's role, the 270 doctors, to say what is culturally dangerous as well as medically dangerous. Do you notice they never give specifics? They say, including several falsehoods about COVID-19 vaccines and an unfounded theory that societal leaders have hypnotized the public. Okay, if you listen to Robert Malone's conversation with Joe Rogan, he does make a pretty rather compelling case, about mass formation psychosis. Now, Dana White, who runs the Ultimate Fighting Challenge, UFC, has come out in defense of Joe Rogan. Again, Democrats are losing at every single turn. Dana White is obviously, he's obviously a Trump supporter. Not smart exactly if you're going to lose the Rogan-Dana White coalition of the world. Not wise. Play cut 17.
And, you know, Rogan's been talking about it. Then I went crazy talking about it. You can't get those things to save your life now. Literally. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Yeah, it's one of the craziest things that I've ever witnessed in my life. Right? You want to know what's scary? I bet I could get some pain pills quicker than I could get monoclonal antibodies. No, maybe. That's a fact.
Dana continues in cut 19. Dana White, with more wisdom than Anthony Fauci, play cut 19.
Medicine that absolutely works, they're keeping from us. I don't want to get too political and start getting into all this shit, but ivermectin and monoclonal antibodies have been around for a long time. Now, all of a sudden, you can't dig them up to save your life. The doctors won't give them to you. And, you know, Rogan's been talking about it. Then I went crazy talking about it. You can't get those things to save your life now.
And despite all the pressure to try to cancel and to try to restrict Joe Rogan and Dana White, they're stronger than ever. The truth is getting out. is one of the reasons why the Democrats are collapsing in such record numbers, because those of us that have been talking about the necessary regimen of early treatments of vitamin D levels, of azithromycin, aspirin, melatonin, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, getting your life together as far as having a healthy diet and healthy balance, getting enough sleep, all the sorts of necessary prerequisites to be able to fight off infectious disease, the Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson vaccine lobby, they continue with full-fledged propaganda disinformation campaigns to try and delegitimize people like Rogan and Dana White by this letter, this 270 scientists. You know what? I would love, and this will never happen because there's more important things and probably shouldn't, but I'd love an investigation into what organization is behind the 270 scientists letter. I guarantee you they're affiliated with the pharmaceutical industry. They do this exact same thing with the war industry. They do the same thing. They used to do the same thing with big tobacco. Get a bunch of scientists to sign a letter and everyone will back off. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. It's always freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.